Hello, listeners. Thank you for joining us on yet another week of the Built on the Border podcast. I'm Tom Randolph. Please be joined in studio, aka the dining room, once again with my good friend, Tommy Watson. Tommy, how are you doing today?
Feeling pretty good. Enjoying the weather, just like always.
Yeah, it's perfect outside. It's about 70 degrees right now. It's about 72 when we got home today. And then shortly after we got home, our good friend Brody showed up. Brody's with us in studio again today. How's it going, Brody?
Oh, it's going great. It was outside today. Got to see just everyone in Kansas City enjoying the beautiful weather outside on the trolley trail and just throughout the neighborhood.
Yeah, you get to do that because you're unemployed currently. So
that is great, yeah.
That's one of the benefits of being unemployed.
Fun employment, I believe.
Fun employment.
As Aaron Mawson
said. As our good friend Aaron Mawson would say, it's fun employment. But yeah, it's great day to be outside. We got a brand new deck on our patio for our porch outside, so we're enjoying the nice weather. But we're glad to be back to talk about the action from this weekend. It was a great weekend of college basketball. It was exciting. There were some great games, great plays, and we'll cover that in a little bit. But for starters, let's go ahead and get in and cover the Kansas City sports first. So some news today out of Kansas City Star. They're talking about Derek Johnson and Mike DeVito. Both are coming back from ruptured Achilles, so Achilles injuries, and they're rehabbing together. And the Kansas City started a feature on that. Did you read that today, Tommy?
I did not, but I heard it's going pretty well for them.
Yeah, they're both working together. They're working out. You know, DeVito and Johnson were a huge part of that or that defense that had the 11th ranked run defense in pro football in 2013. Last year, they dropped 17 spots down to 28th. I don't think it's any coincidence that the absence of DeVito and Johnson definitely contributed to that. So it's good to hear that they're making a lot of progress. It's good to hear that they're working out together. I think that's one of those things that definitely brings a team together in terms of bond and a unity. And I'm excited to see what those two can do coming into next season. You know, Derek Johnson's 32, Mike DeVito is 30. So there's a little bit of age, a little bit of tread on the tires there. But I'm excited to have them back and be a part of this team again.
Yeah, you know, I'm confident they're going to be pretty much back up to speed. I did see a video of Derek Johnson from about a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, and he was looking good.
Yeah.
He was fast, going through agility drills and stuff, looking very good.
And we just hope that that's something that he continues to work at and that Achilles is healthy. Brody, any thoughts on the DeVito-Johnson situation?
I mean, just having gone through a knee physical therapy just recently, it definitely helps have your teammate there.
Yeah, to have someone who
is experiencing the exact same pain and recovery process.
Yeah.
It really improves
speed. It's always fun to have a buddy.
Yeah.
You're going through something. So that's really the only news out of Chiefs camp today, or this in the past week. So we'll move on over to the Royals. Royals are kind of starting to wrap up spring training. In a week, we have opening day, a week from today. Are you excited?
No, I'm not actually a big fan of Royals. you know, I heard they were in the World Series last year, and that got everyone's hopes
up.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited. Yeah. I can't wait to watch some baseball. I may even cut out of work early.
You know, I think I'm going to tell my boss maybe half day is probably my plans for Monday. Maybe I can trade having the day off on Friday for taking the day off on Monday. I don't really think we get to pick and choose which days are our paid vacation days. But, yeah, it's going to be a fun year. I think there are a lot of things I really like about this team. There's also some things that make me a little nervous. So we'll go ahead and get into that. I am very excited and optimistic about our bullpen this year. I think coming into this season, we have probably the best bullpen in baseball from top to bottom. You got Hochever coming back healthy, which will be a huge lift to that bullpen that was already the best in baseball. Historically, one of the best ever.
Yep.
So I'm excited to see that. I'm excited about the way Alex Rios is starting to fit in to this team. And it says a lot about your ball club and your defense when Alex Rios is your worst defensive player. Things could be a lot worse than Alex Rios being your worst defensive player.
I would think so.
So looking into next year, you know, obviously we're going to rely on pitching and defense and base running as we did in 2014, as we did in 2013. Some things that I'm concerned about, and I've echoed these multiple times, I'm concerned about our lack of power, and I'm concerned about Salvador Perez and his innings. I think the workload has been too much for him at times. Tommy, what are your thoughts?
You know, I think Ned hasn't come out with a plan yet, because there was talk earlier of having Kratz have be the set catcher for one of our pitchers, but they kind of nixed that plan. But I think everyone's aware that you can't work Sal as much as they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll see more days off from him. I mean, he was, did he have the most innings last year of any
catcher?
He had
the most innings caught by any catcher by a long way.
It definitely showed.
Right. And then the next catcher behind him was Lucroy. Well, Lucroy didn't even play the whole season at catcher. He started off the season playing some first base and then got mixed in at catcher. So he was the second most innings, you know, tallier of catchers last year, and he wasn't even catcher for the entire season. So that says a lot about the, you know, the gap between Perez. He's being overworked for that position.
Yeah.
But then again, like, we get back to the power issue. We brought in Rios. We brought in Morales. We lost Billy Butler. I don't know how much they bring to the table in terms of power. If Alex Rios can have a resurgence like he did and hit the way he did in Toronto, I think we got a really good bargain, a really good deal, and I think that bodes well for our power. We showed a lot of that power in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
During the regular season, not so much.
Well, it was kind of probably with how Ned Yost and how the hitting coaches were having to approach the how every at-bat was make contact. And that's why we ended up, I believe, leading the league in whiffs and strikeouts.
Yeah, and we're not a team that plays to get on base. We're kind of almost the anti-money ball team.
We play to put the ball in
and,
play.
And play and make the
use
team
our speed and make the defense work for it.
Right, and I think that approach maybe will take on more of a significant presence with other teams. For right now, it works for the Royals, or at least it did last season. We'll see how it progresses into 2015.
You know, I don't think this team is ever really built for power. I think we've shown that, well, definitely last year, we've shown that we didn't need power to win. And honestly, I think it's not much of a change from last year. Billy didn't really hit a whole lot of home runs last year. So Kendrys Morales, the bar's set pretty low for him. And then Rios, even in his worst year, I think is still a step up from
Nori
Aoki,
yeah,
in terms of power.
You know, I think that maybe this team isn't designed to be a power-hitting team, but you certainly have power-hitting players on it.
Mm-hmm.
When Moustakas can get a hold of the ball, he can really drive it. When Hosmer can get a hold of the ball, he can really drive it. We've seen years where Alex Gordon has had 20-plus home runs. So we definitely know that that ability is in those players. I just don't know that the focus is necessarily there. So we'll see. I'd like to see more. Chicks dig the long ball, man. I would like to see more home runs.
You know, actually, just now, I like the way you put that, because I think that makes the Royals kind of scary. There are a lot of players on that team they can just flat out jack a ball, but we're not known as a power team. So you come into a game not thinking about the power, but any one of those guys can knock one out of the park.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting. We've got our first game. We've said it again on the podcast a couple times. April 17th. A's coming back to town. Repeating that matchup from the wild card game, and guess who's back?
Billy!
It's your boy, Billy.
Billy boy.
So we're excited to see Billy. He will get multiple standing ovations from me on April 17th, Friday, April 17th.
I believe everyone will be giving
a
standing
and
ovation.
And I don't know. I know you'll be in tears. I might be joining you as well.
I think I said earlier that I would try and run on the field and give him a hug, so that may still happen. Don't be surprised. But it depends on how much I drink before the game.
Well, we'll be in the parking lot before the game, and we'll be hanging out. If you see a bunch of rambunctious 23-year-olds in the parking lot, assume it's probably not us because there's lots of rambunctious 23-year-olds in the parking lot. But, we'll be out there. It'll be Buck Night on the 17th, which will be fun. And then they'll do in the Golden Glove Awards presentation. So we have a couple guys, Hosmer, Gordon, Perez, getting some Golden Gloves. So that'll be a lot of fun. But moving and shifting gears, I think the big action, the big stuff we need to talk about from this weekend is the Sweet 16 and then the Elite Eight. Some really good basketball games.
Oh, is that still going on?
Hey, yeah, there's a tournament. That's still...
Oh, there's basketball.
Yeah, there's
it's
still
March.
Basketball. So March is almost over, but that does not mean, the madness will not continue into April. So we did our predictions last week, and some of them were correct, some of them were not. But we have our Final Four set. In the first Final Four matchup, we've got Kentucky versus the Badgers of Wisconsin. And I'm really excited for that game. Not that to say I'm not excited for the other game. But I think this game is going to be one of the best college basketball games all year.
Well, it's a rematch of a Final Four game from last year.
Elite Eight from last year.
Very entertaining game, though, from last year. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to this one.
You know, I think that these teams match up well against each other in the sense that I think they do certain things differently. They do different things well. I think you'll see Kentucky have to spread the floor a little bit more in terms of their defense, because Wisconsin's got such good shooters. I mean, it's been very difficult for teams to cover Wisconsin 20 feet out because everyone can shoot on the floor. And I'm excited to see Kentucky have to kind of shift to guard a team like that. They did have to get out and guard Notre Dame, so I think that was a good primer for the Wildcats. I think Notre Dame is a very similar team to the way they play, into the way Wisconsin plays. But I think it's going to be a great matchup. Brody, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I got to agree with you on that point of kind of almost a primer with the Notre Dame game, where Towns almost, I don't know why they didn't just pass him every single time down, but with Kaminsky, he's going to be able to shut that down low play. And I think Wisconsin it'll be probably one of the best matchups of the year, if not of the century of basketball. I'm excited.
Matchup of the century. Brody's going bold and calling it the match of the century. I don't quite see it that way. But
I mean, you got almost a 38-0 team that's playing for stake of a 40-0 title. So, and yeah, Wisconsin of the rematch from last year. So I think there's a lot of storylines going into this game.
Yeah, there definitely is. I was kind of going over the numbers with Tommy earlier. There are 2,352 coaching wins between the four coaches that are coaching in the Final Four this year. Coach K obviously has over 1,000. He's got 1,016. And then Cal has 635. Tom Izzo has 495. And Bo Ryan has 386. It's kind of weird when you say that Bo Ryan is the worst out of four coaches coaching in the Final Four.
Yeah, normally you'd think that's kind of an insult, but in that company, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. And you know what shocked me is the number of wins Tom Izzo has. I would have thought it would be at least 500 or more. I mean, Self has over 500, and Izzo's only got 495. But man, there's a lot of history. There's a lot of talent on these teams. So let's go ahead and talk about the Wisconsin-Kentucky matchup. Who do you guys got in that game?
I'm going to stick with my prediction for my original bracket that I filled out and go with Kentucky, although I will be cheering for Wisconsin.
Yeah, okay.
Well, all but one of my Final Four teams are out, so I think I'm going to be cheering for Wisconsin. I think Kentucky will win, though.
Kentucky's like the safe bet, so right. You kind of got to go with that.
My national championship was Wisconsin versus Gonzaga, so that didn't work out, but I got to stick with my pick. Got to go with the Badgers. Got to go with Kaminsky, Sam Decker. I just think that they're going to send a message to the Wildcats. I think the Wildcats have sent a message. They sent a message to West Virginia in the tournament. They sent a message to the country this year with the way they played. It's time for the Badgers to do the same thing to Kentucky. So I'm excited. I think that it's going to be a great matchup. I think it's going to probably come down to, you know, the last minute and a half of play. But I'm gonna take Wisconsin there. I think Bo Ryan, I said this, you know, the other day when I was talking with some people. Bo Ryan, I think now is the best in-game coach left out there. I think he is able to adjust on the fly, react to situations. I think Coach Calipari is a great coach, but I think Bo Ryan is more equipped to make changes and adjust in a game setting. So that's why I'm gonna go with the Badgers in that one. Shifting over, we got another heavyweight fight between the Michigan State Spartans and the Duke Blue Devils. This is going to be a great game also. I mean, this is the Final Four. These are all going to be great games. Yeah. You can't discount one big game being better than the other. So you've got Mike Krzyzewski and Jahlil Okafor and Justice Winslow, who I think is my new favorite player in college basketball. Tyus Jones, Marshall Plumlee, Grant Allen, Quinn Cook. A lot of talent on the floor there for Duke. On the other side, you've got Michigan State, who has just surprised everyone in this tournament. And maybe not surprised, but they've shocked a lot of people in terms of how well they've played. They've won 8 out of their last 9 games. Mm-hmm. They rolled through the Big Ten tournament until they got to Wisconsin. And even then, they played a tight overtime game with them. And they have gone into this tournament and said, look, we don't care where we were, where we started. It's all about how we finish. And I think it's the true identity of a Tom Izzo team.
Yeah,
it's not about how they start the season; it's how they finish. Interestingly enough, three of the four Champions Classic teams that played in the Champions Classic this year are in the Final Four. Duke, Kentucky, Michigan State. You know which one's missing?
Kansas. No, you get back to the
gym. Always bringing it back to the gym.
They didn't play this week, but we still came back to them.
But anyways, I think this is going to be a great game. But I think that Duke might have a little too much for Michigan State to handle. I think the Cinderella run ends here. I think Travis Trice is going to cool off a little bit. I think Michigan State, a lot of the things that they were doing aren't going to be able to work. They really, against Louisville, really only ran a perimeter kind of offense where they got a lot of shots, soft screens, a lot of broken plays where they got open looks between Valentine and Trice. I think this is where the Spartans run, the kind of magic runs out for them. So I'm going to take the Blue Devils in that matchup.
I got to agree with you on that. When Michigan State was playing Louisville, I don't know exactly what their number was for shooting percentage, but Louisville in the second half was god-awful.
Yeah, they were atrocious.
And to only have won by made it a close game at the end, I don't see Duke going through any of that. They're just going to steamroll. Yeah. It'll be a 10-point game.
Well, to talk about what happened, I mean, Louisville was a free throw away from winning the game.
Exactly.
If they had hit that free throw in regulation, there's no overtime. Michigan State goes home packing, and then you've got a Final Four of, you know,
Patino.
Add him into the mix. It's still just as good as it was before. So, Tommy, who do you have in this game?
You know, I got to stick with my original pick. I'm going to have to go with Duke.
Okay.
But I would not rule out Michigan State because I feel like Duke and Michigan State both came from not weak regions, but I feel like their regions were not as good as the other side of the bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that Michigan State has gritted out some of their wins, they gritted out one over Virginia, and then just this last weekend over Louisville. I think if it's a close game, I would not be surprised to see Michigan State pulled out.
Yeah. I'd have to – I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but I think that Duke's talent is just too much for Michigan State to handle. So we have who we think is going to make it to the championship game. My pick would be Duke versus Wisconsin. I think the eventual national champion will be Wisconsin. I think this is a team of destiny. I think you've seen the way they've played all year. They play a very committed team style of basketball. I want to see Frank Kaminsky win a national title. I want to see Sam Decker win a national title. I want to see Bo Ryan win a national title. Wisconsin only has one national title in the history of their program, and that they managed to get one in like 1941. So I don't even know who was on that team. We weren't alive. Our parents weren't alive then. So I want to see Wisconsin win. I've got Wisconsin winning the national championship. Brody, who's your national champion?
I'm going to hate myself for saying this, but it's going to be Kentucky.
Okay.
Size and talent of that team. It'll be close. It'll be good games, but Kentucky will win.
Yeah, you know, I'm okay with the potential matchup of Wisconsin Duke or Kentucky Duke.
Yeah,
I think Michigan State, while I will be rooting for them the whole way, the best game is going to come from those three teams, one of those combinations playing each other. Tommy, national champion.
Still got to stick with my pick, Kentucky. Unfortunately, I did the smart money type play there.
Yeah, I think a betting man would have put all of his money, all of his chips into the Wildcats basket.
But actually, you know, if I don't know about you guys, but if I got to pick the national championship matchup right now, I think I would rather see a Michigan State Wisconsin rematch.
A Big Ten.
That would be fun. I think the Big Ten, it would just be kind of a, so far this whole sports season, this academic year, would be just kind of a middle finger to the rest of the country because everyone was talking about going back to college football about the Big Ten wasn't any good. They got the national championship with Ohio. Everyone said the Big Ten was down this year in basketball, which honestly, from top to bottom of the conference, they probably were, but Wisconsin and Michigan State stayed at a pretty high level.
Yeah.
And they're both Final Four teams now.
And I think Indiana played a pretty high level
Indiana
basketball too. They lost a really tough game with Wichita State in the first round of the tournament. Maryland had a good season, and that's another Big Ten school.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the narrative, when I think I want to get into that, all these teams that they play their non-conference schedule, and we get so big on these teams early on, you know, in the ACC and the Big 12, and then it comes time for them to play their conference, and they kind of beat up on each other, and they get to the tournament, and then you see them not be as good as people think they are. Obviously, the ACC was as good as people thought they were because they had all of their teams advance to the second round, and they were 11-1 after the first week of of basketball. So obviously the ACC was heralded correctly. I think the Big 12 was a little overrated.
Again.
How about that?
Again.
After, once again, no Big 12 team in the Final Four. We go another year without a team besides Kansas making it to the Final Four. Kansas has only made the Final Four twice in this decade, so there's only two teams there. I think the Big 12 was overhyped this year. We said it early on in the podcast, and we kind of went back the other direction and said, well, they're appropriately hyped. They're maybe underhyped. But they looked awful in this tournament. I mean, there was not a – I mean, other than Oklahoma, there was not really a single team to talk about.
No.
Iowa State was – Iowa State, first-round exit. Texas, first-round exit. Oklahoma State, first-round exit. Kansas, second-round exit. Baylor, first-round exit. I mean, at what point do analysts start saying, look at the way they're performing in the tournament against other teams. Look at the way that they do when it matters. Look at the way that they look at the way their best players, you know, play in these games. And they disappear. And they become now the Big 12 has become like the laughingstock of the country in terms of conference supremacy. Because we were supposed to be the best conference coming into this tournament. We were the ones who were supposed to make the noise. Iowa State was supposed to make it to a Final Four, or at least an Elite Eight. Baylor was supposed to at least make it to the Sweet 16. Kansas was supposed to make it to its Sweet 16. Texas was supposed to put up a better fight against Butler, which they did give them a pretty good game. But, I mean, come on. This is becoming almost embarrassing because every year in and year out, we have teams that are supposed to make it all the way. And I really commend the Oklahoma Sooners for what they did because they had played a really good Michigan State team at the wrong time to play Michigan State. Buddy Hield had a really good game. It was a close game. It went down to the wire. But – gosh, I mean, why do people consider the Big 12 the best conference, basketball conference in the country, or at least the second best, when they really haven't done anything in recent history to prove that to be true? They've almost proved the opposite. So I hope next year they don't overblow how good this conference is, because in reality, there's a lot of talent departing. You know, there's a lot of guys in the Big 12 who are leaving. You heard about Miles Turner left. Is going to leave University of Texas today. There'll be a new coach at Texas, and right now there's reports that Shock Smart might be taking the job at Texas. Greg Marshall was also mentioned as a possibility. But it's not going to be the same Big 12 next year, and it's not going to be the same Big 12 next year because I think it's going to be a worse conference next year.
Well, Kansas State, just the recent
news. Yeah, they dismissed Marcus Foster. I mean, so I hate to bring this conversation about college basketball back to the Big 12 all the time, but I think it's something that deserves discussion. And I don't know what it is about. Maybe it's the RPIs that get overblown early in the season. Maybe it's the quality of talent. Maybe they just beat up on each other in the regular season. And these guys are worn out by the time it comes time to make a splash in the tournament. You know, I think maybe it would have benefited Kansas to lose early in the Big 12 tournament so they have some time to rest guys. But I don't know. I always get on my soapbox about the Big 12, but I think it's something that needs to be addressed.
And I don't really know if it's going to be a one-year solution, but, I mean, it has to come down to coaches and players getting on the same page for getting prepared for a tournament matchup in the first or second round.
Yeah, and, you know, there's guys who, you know, I don't think that Fred Hoiberg is going to be the coach of the Cyclones next year, so that's another program that I think Fred Hoiberg is going to take a pro job. You know, this is just what I've heard through the grapevine, but Tom Thibodeau in Chicago for the Bulls, probably going to lose his job at the end of this year.
Yeah.
He's been fine with upper management. Reports are that the number one choice of the Bulls would be to hire Fred Hoiberg. So how do you, if you're him, you probably don't turn out an opportunity to go to the pros. But my point is that this is going to be a very different Big 12 next year, and not a different in a good way. Right now, KU, you know, the poster boy of the Big 12, only has one top 100 recruit coming in, and he's the number 24 overall recruit. Now that's great. I mean, any school would be happy to have a number 24 ranked recruit, but he's power forward, but he's kind of undersized. It's kind of the mark of already the power forwards on this team. I don't think he's going to really bring too much to the table. I keep on getting back to this over and over again, and I should probably change the subject, but it's just going to be this bit. The Big 12 is not going to continue to be lauded as the best conference in basketball anymore if they cannot get it together when it matters in the tournament. So we'll see. But enough about basketball and me soapboxing out the Big 12. We'll shift into back to Kansas City sports news. Sporting KC's kicked off a season recently, and they had another game this past week. Mm-hmm. Brody, why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Well, yeah, they played on Saturday against the newly formed New York City FC in the Yankee Stadium and finally brought in the first win of the season.
Yeah. What was the final score?
It was a 0-1 victory, a quick early goal by Ikea Paro again. So he's, I think, their leading scorer for the four games in this season. But it was just a really hard-fought game. There was a few very close calls, correct calls by the referee. Almost a handball called on Seth Novick in, I believe, the 70th minute. And luckily the referees talked about it, reversed the call. It was a goal kick, but could have completely changed the game with a free penalty on a bad call. But luckily, the Sporting KC pulled it out. Really good game in New York, and always good to beat up on the East.
Yeah, it's always fun to beat up on the East Coast teams, especially to assert your dominance over a new football club.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to get out some games this spring. Like I said, we've said on the pod before, I don't think there's better place in the country to watch a soccer game than Sporting Park. I think that maybe the Seattle Sounders and the Portland Timbers might have an argument there, but I think our stadiums were designed specifically for soccer. I'm excited to get out to the game. We'll have to scour the scour StubHub or whatnot to see if we can get some time out in the Legends and watch some quality soccer. Someone was asking me the other day, how important is it to you? When Sporting KC wins the MLS Cup, it's pretty cool. I wouldn't say I get that that jazzed up about it as I would say if Kansas City goes to the playoffs or if the Chiefs play in the playoffs. I don't think I get that jazzed up for it. But they were talking today on 810. Would you rather? No, this poses time because Brody, you don't have a stake in this game. But would you rather KU win a bowl game or Sporting Kansas City win the MLS Cup?
Sporting Kansas City win the MLS Cup?
Would you rather Kansas football win the Big 12 or Sporting Kansas City win the MLS Cup?
Kansas football win the Big 12 because we've never even seen that before.
Yeah. I think I'd have to go with the same response as you. I think I'd rather see Sporting KC win the MLS Cup because, a bowl game for KU might mean they go to, the Independence Bowl and get their
It doesn't take a lot of effort. Jayhawks haven't been that great in the last couple of years, but it doesn't take a whole lot of effort to get to the bowl game.
Yeah. Did you see our former classmate, Dexter McDonald, had a pretty quality performance at his pro day, the Jayhawks pro day. Dex, I think he ran a sub 4.440. I think it was a 4.3, 4.40.
Good for him.
Unofficial, but, we might see Dexter McDonald make a splash in the pro. It would be interesting, a former classmate of ours. At Rutgers High School. That'd be cool. I think I'd maybe have to become a fan of whatever team he got drafted by.
By his jersey.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to this Final Four this weekend. We're going to have to do a show on Tuesday night because the home opener will be on Monday, and then the national championship will be Monday night as well. So we're obviously going to be a little bit preoccupied with some things going on. And we want to bring – our goal is to bring the freshest – most up-to-date podcast to our listeners. So I think the best thing for us to do would be to do that podcast on Tuesday night. What are your thoughts, Tommy?
Yeah, I definitely want to do that because I think there would be maybe only a half-hour window between Royals and coverage of the NCAA championships.
Yeah, and this podcast is a half an hour, but it takes a little bit more time than that to get it ready to go. So I don't think we'd be able to fit it in.
And also our viewers would be probably preoccupied doing the exact same stuff.
Yeah, our listeners would be preoccupied, and they also wouldn't want us to talk about the stuff that happened before the national championship and before opening day. They'd want to know what happened after. So, to wrap up another edition of the Built on the Border podcast, this is Tom Randolph. We'll be coming at you on Tuesday next week, so look for us on, what day would that be? Would that be April 6th? The April 6th. We're doing a podcast that evening. We'll put that up, and we'll be able to listen to it the rest of the week. And we hope you guys enjoyed this week. Not a whole lot to talk about Kansas City related, but a lot to talk about basketball related. So I'm excited to have some more basketball talk come Tuesday. For Brody Johnson and Tommy Watson, this is Tom Randolph. We'll see you next Tuesday, guys. Have a safe one out there.
Going back to Kansas City.